Okay, we're going to start. I saw there are a few faces on the floor. Can everyone hear okay? Okay, as you know, here we go, we're going to finish our co-bit of Ms. Moray Haleluko today, and live from Toronto this time. And we're going to continue with Ms. Moray Kufman Ches. Just to remind you, after seeing the universal nature of Ms. Moray Kufman Hey, we then continue to see how, in the small Kufman Vav, working off of the small Kufman Hey, how all of a sudden at the end, from the universal nature, there's a special relationship specifically with Tzion. And then in the small Kufman Zayin, on one hand, Kitov Zamra Elokinu, there is a piece of here, and the second Kriya, the second calling out of Hashem as well in Pasuk Zayin, Zamur Lelokinu B'chinor, and then the last one of Shabachi Yushalayim of Hashem. All different forms of singing out to Hashem. And what we also saw was not only the idea that each time it's talking about Hashem, who relates to the whole world, has a special relationship with Am Yisrael, but one more stage, and that was at the end of Nizmor Kufman Zayin, we saw how the Davar, the word ice and melts the ice, is the same Davar, the same word, that also sends out the words of the Torah, which basically teach us through the Mizmor itself that on one hand it stands alone, and here we find that Hashem has a special relationship with Am Yisrael, and again the Jewish pride that we ended with last week, that the same God who's the God of the world is our God. Again, that's supposed to promote a sense of Halleluka, we want to praise Hashem, but it's more than that, and that is if we appreciate it within the context of the other Mizmorim, then we're able to see all the more how the Mishorer, how the poet here wants to induce the reader, and that's each and every one of us, to induce the reader to get a better sense of what it means to understand that the God who is the one that everyone, Tzilat Hashem Yidaber Tiva, Varech Kol Basar Shem Kachol Le'olam Ve'ed, everyone has a responsibility to praise Hashem, but specifically Am Yisrael. So with this, we're going to go on now to Mizmor Kufman Zayin, and Kufman Chet, and as we see, firstly, the relationship between the Mizmorim, we're then going to continue to appreciate what the uniqueness of this Mizmor is. So firstly, as we do with all the other Mizmorim, we're going to read it together. I'm going to ask you to be sensitive to the words that appear here that you've already heard in previous Mizmorim, proving that, in fact, it is part of the Kovet, and then we're going to continue with the division of the Mizmor into stanzas, following which we'll discuss the development of themes. Hallelujah, hallelujah to Adonai min ha-shamayim. Hallelujah, gamromim. Hallelujah, kol malachav, hallelujah, kol tzva'av. Hallelujah, shemesh v'yareach, hallelujah, kol kochvei or. Hallelujah, shemei ha-shamayim, v'amayim ha-shem me'al ha-shamayim. Hallelujah, at shem Adonai, ki hu tzivav nivra'u. V'yamidem lo'ad lo'olam, chok natan v'lo ya'avor. Hallelujah, Adonai min ha-aretz, taninim v'chot tahomot. Eishu v'arad, shelo v'kitor, ruach sa'ara osa dvaro. Harim v'chot v'ot. It's pre v'chol arazim, ha'chaya v'chol behima, remez v'tzipot hanas, marchei eretz v'chol le'umim, sarim v'chol shoftei eretz, v'chulim v'gam betulot, zekinim im narim, yahallelu at shem Adonai, k'nizkav shemo levado, hodo al eretz v'shamayim, v'yaram kerem ha'amo, tehila l'chol chasidav, levnei Yisrael, am krovo, hallelujah. Before we go on even, to divide this up into stanzas, I hope you already noticed that this Mizmor is going to go back to Mizmor Kuf Mem He, or I'm using the same Mizmor Kuf Mem Vav terminology, and being universal. The only reference we have to Hashem's relationship with Am Yisrael is once again the very last pasuk, Vayarim Kerem Ma'amo. This same God who provides for the entire world is also the one to lift up a horn and glorify his nation. Tila l'chol chasidav, who gives praise to those who follow him. L'vnei Yisrael, am krovo, to Am Yisrael, who are in fact the nation that is closest to him. Hallelujah. So now, with this in mind, I'm going to ask you all to take a look at the Mizmor and to, in fact, try to divide it up into its respective stanzas. Here, I would say this is one of the easiest Mizmorim in all of Sefer Tehillim, because even thematically, it divides itself up beautifully. So, for those who can see the division over here. Now, there are some who divide this into three, but I'm going to make it easier for you. Again, most Prussianim divide this into two. Okay, if you look at the psukim themselves, we have psukim Aleph through Vav, talking about, as the Mishorer even says, Halu at Hashem min ha-shamayim. Yes, celestial beings, praising of Hashem from the Shemayim, meaning from everything that's related to the skies. And these should be the creatures that praise Hashem. Followed by Pesukim Vav through Yudalid, and we're going to pay attention to the transition in Pasuk Vav, all of the Briot on the Aretz. And as you see from the transition, even the Amidim La'ad La'olam Choknatam V'lo Ya'avor, Pasuk Zayin is really the beginning of the second stanza, Haluat Hashem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed be Hashem from the land, meaning from all the creatures, from all the creations of the land, you also have a responsibility to praise Hashem. And that's simple enough. A mizmor with two different parts, which is exciting. As a matter of fact, every time I read this mizmor, I think of Zippity Duda, Zippity Zay. Do you remember that from, that's right, then the, I forgot the name of the movie, but, basically what we're going to see here is how the mizmor itself is going to depict praising Hashem. So let's begin with the Shemayim. Who is it in the Shemayim? And you're going to see a very specific order over here. Halu kol malachav, the celestial beings up above. Halu kol tzva'av, all the constellations in the sky. Halu shemesh ve'areach, halu kol kochvei or, and then the sun and the moon and the stars. Notice, by the way, when we're talking about the sky, in which direction are we going? We're starting with the highest, with the malachim, with those that are in the heavenly sphere, and we're working our way down till we get to the shemesh yareach, and now even more. Halleluhu shemei hashamayim v'amayim asher mi'al hashamayim. If I go down from the sun, the moon, the stars, I then reach the shemei hashamayim, right, what we generally call the firmament, right, again, of the shamayim, hamayim asher mi'al hashamayim, right, the area above the clouds. So we went from the celestial beings up, we'll even call it in the heavenly spheres of the sky, to the more than the creative, or the physical aspects of the sky that we see. And the ending pasuk, why do you all have a responsibility to praise Hashem? Because He created you. But it's not just that. Vayamidem la'ad la'olam. He created you way back when and established you forever. Chok natam v'lo ya'avor, with rules. With the rules of the orbits. With the rules of the solar system. Of gravity. Of the lack thereof. With the rules that there's going to be a maintenance. You should praise Hashem, not just for creating you, but for maintaining you. The end. The end of the first part. Thank you very much. Right, son of the South. He's right. And with this then, we're going to continue and see Pasuk Zayin. Hallelujah et Hashem min ha'aretz taninim v'chol tohomot. Notice then, we're going to start with the ground. Where are we going then? From the ground, just as we started from the higher spheres of heaven, we're going to start from the depths of the ground. Hallelujah et Hashem, this time min ha'aretz, all the way down to the ground, taninim v'chol tohomot, the sea monsters. So we know from Sefer Bereishit, the sea monsters of the waters, v'chol tohomot. We're talking about the depths of the waters. Eish uvarad shela v'kitor ruach sa'ara usa dvaro. And in fact, you should all be telling yourself, wait a second, fire and hail and the snow and the mist and hurricanes that all do the work of God, this shouldn't be Aretz. This should be in the Shamayim section. And can anyone tell me why it's in the Aretz section? Notice how the Aretz was all the celestial beings in the sky. Now we're talking about things going on, things affecting. And again, here we find that the accompanying text that's viewed is, for now, still the Tanakh. I haven't figured out how to put everything online yet, but all this is in the Tanakh itself. Very nice. Sorry? Okay. It's the Berkson. I think it is below the heavens. Very nice. This is already below the heavens, 100%. And it's not just below the heavens, but things that affect the earth, right? The mist, the snow, anything that you're going to find in the earth itself. This is the basic connection with, if you remember what we saw in the previous mizmor, of Mehira Yarutz Dvaro, Yishlach Dvaro. And certainly we know that if we compare mizmor Kufnam Chet to Kufnam Zayin, and we already saw Shirshur Hamilim, what we called again Anadiplosis, this already tells us that the mizmorim are certainly connected. It's written by the same pen, basically by the same person. With this then we continue. What else in the Aretz then has the responsibility of praising Hashem? Ha'harim v'chol gva'ot, we're going now to the mountains and the hills, eitz pri v'chol arazim, the fruit trees and the cedar trees, ha'chaya v'chol behima, rimas v'tzipor kanaf. So we went from generally what's called in science the domain to the chai, the still objects, now to the moving objects, the the beasts, the domesticated animals, the creepy crawlies, the tzipor, kanaf, or the flying birds as well. And now to the medaber, now to those who actually speak as well, the kings, even the kings of the land are subjugated or they're connected to the land, malchei eretz versus the shamayim. This you have to remember is somewhat polemic, keeping in mind that most malachim, most kings saw themselves as connected to the shamayim, as celestial beings, as gods in their own right. So here, this is his way of also saying, no, malchei eretz, the malachim are connected to the ground, v'chol le'umim and their nations, sarim v'chol shoftei eretz, the orders, and all the shoftim isn't just judges, but any people of power in the world, v'chumim v'gam b'tzulot, zekinim im narim. Now, this is what's called in Tanakh and also in literature as merezmus. And merezmus means that the poet is going to try to be as all-inclusive without the acrostic form, to be as all-inclusive by going from one extreme to the other. You have this a few times in Tanakh. Mina'ar v'ad zakein, taf v'nashim, from the young to the old, which basically means, and everyone in between. So that's known as merezmus, which we find here as well. Bachurim v'gam b'tulot, all the young maidens and the young men. Zakenim v'narim, the older and the younger, basically female, male, old and young, everyone else. Again, all the inhabitants of the world, that basically the first part of Pasuk Yud Gimel has to be read independently. Yalu Hashem Hashem, all of them, all of these creatures of the land will also praise Hashem, Ki Niskav Shemo Levado, because God's name is exalted alone, and especially from the Eretz, here we find God is certainly exalted, He is up above. So notice that each part, each area of praise has a different nimuk, has a different reason for their praise. The spheres of the heaven have to praise Hashem and Pasukei Ki Hu Tziva V'Nivra'u, because He commanded and they were created, and the continuation V'Am Yedei Ma'ad Lolam, and He maintains them. That the spheres of the earth praise Hashem Ki Nisav Shemo Levado, because of their separation, because of God's distance, because of God being so much more exalted than they. And as a result, we find that that's the reason why they have to praise Hashem. Hodo al Eretz Hashamayim. God's glory is, a beautiful way of summarizing all of this together, God's glory is in the Eretz and the Shamayim. Notice, by the way, we started with Shamayim, all the spheres of the heaven, followed by the spheres of the earth, and now the Meshorer says, Hodo al Eretz Hashamayim. Right? If he was consistent with his order, he should have said, Shamayim v'Eretz. Can anyone tell me why does he end off with Eretz v'Shamayim? This is his way in a chiasmic form of basically ending, having what's called a chatima mi'im pticha. Right, so also say we started with Shamayim, went to Eretz, Eretz and Shamayim. Right, it basically brings the ideas together. Vayarem kerem amo. God then is clearly the God of nature. Right, similar ideas that we saw beforehand, especially in the previous Mizmor, but in the previous Mizmor, it started off with Hashem, who has a special relationship with Yerushalayim, with His people there, is also the God who created the entire world. Right, so lucky are we that we're associated with this God who created the entire world. Here it's the opposite. Hashem, who created the entire world, is also, again, the one who takes care of Am Yisrael. So Hashem, who can maintain the celestial beings up above, and Hashem, who, again, is also in charge of the creations down below, who is so much more exalted, is also the one who lifts up His people. Again, this idea that we know back from this Mokuf Memhei, Hashem is so grand and so grandiose and gibor and gadol, is also the Hashem to be able to pick us up. Levnei Yisrael am krovo halukha. He's also, again, very close here to Am Yisrael. One last idea on this Mizmor, and that is back to Pasuk Yigamor, Ki Nisgav Shemo Levado. And we know that this phrase, not only does Rosh HaMakabach make this into a storm, but we know V'Nisgav Shemo Levado Bayomahu from Yishayahu, which brings me back, we've mentioned this in the first class as well, that Nevi'im will often use terminology that we find from Sefer Tehillim. And I mentioned that in every class we're going to discuss a little bit of a skill that we find in Sefer Tehillim. And today I'd just like to spend a few moments talking about this, how because these were Mizmorim Mikdash, these were Mizmorim that were connected to the Beit HaMikdash, people knew them because they were culturally associated with the times, the festivals, the day in and day out of what was going on in the Beit HaMikdash. As a result, we find something very interesting, and that is that Nevi'im will use terminology, will incorporate terminology of their Nevi'ot that reminds us of Tehillim. And almost all the Parshanim point out, well, obviously, three of them came first. Whether you say it's David HaMelech or not, these were songs that were popular, and henceforth, Nevi'im used the songs in speaking to the people. It's as if someone who's giving a shiur today will try to make references, whether it's to a movie or to a popular song, because they know that this is something that people are familiar with, and they know the entire context. So when he says, Kineskav Shemo Levado, what comes to mind? We already know Yeshayahu. Again, Kineskav Shemo Levado Bayom Hahu, that Hashem is exalted on that day. What is the Bayom Hahu? The day indeed of eschatological proportion when Hashem will come to redeem Am Yisrael. So what is he trying to say? Yes, remember, Mizmor Kuf Memchet, Kineskav Shemo Levado Bayom Hahu, and on the day that all of the spheres of the heaven and the earth will recognize Hashem, that is the day Bayom Kem. So it's important to notice when you find similar terminology in Nevi'im, recognize that Nevi'im are playing off of popular songs. Even if it hasn't yet been officially canonized in Tanakh, people know these songs. And as such, he's building off of that in his own Nevuot. One other idea over here, and that is that in the song, the Niskav Hashem Levado Bayomahu, quoted from Yeshayahu, and that's where there's also an association of Vayivater Yaakov Levado Vayaveg Ishimo Adalot HaShachar. For those who know, again, how the two psukim fit together, the Midrashim even see them fitting together as well, a similar idea, that Vayivater Yaakov Levado, Yaakov was alone, and he recognized Hashem, who's also alone. So here, within the grandiose proportion of the whole world, there still is a very close connection between Hashem and Am Yisrael. And this is partially the beauty of such a structure of Mizmor, such as Mizmor Kuf Memchet. But just one more point with regard to this, and that is, if in the first part there are seven different phrases of Halleluka, Hallelu, Halleluka, and the second, in the Aret section, there's only one, Hallelu Es Hashem Min Ha'aret, and then at the end of the first section, there's also an additional Yehallelu, and it seems that again, the point is that Hallelujah, you find something very beautiful, and that is that there are 10 within the Mizmor, and if you add on the responses of Hallelujah, then you get to, again, which is at the beginning and at the end, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem, and Hallelujah. At the very end, you get to 12 altogether, which, again, is not only very redundant here, but obviously it's trying to tell you the greater idea. In addition, you'll also find that the Meshorer mentions seven celestial beings. Again, let's count them together. The Malachim, the Tzva'av, then the constellations, the Shemesh, the Yareach, the Kochvei Or, the Shmei HaShemayim, the Mayim Asher Mi'al HaShemayim, and again, clearly is, as we said, going from the higher to the lower. Again, the most important to the least important. And the second, there are 24 different types of ideas that are mentioned, also based on the three different groups that are here, starting with the Mayim, the Ish, the Ruach, Talimim, Talmot, Ish, Barat, Shelu, Kitor, Ruach, Sa'ara, and then going onto the land itself, the land, the plant life, and then the animal life, again, altogether 24. So we have, again, the 12 times of Hallelujah, the 24 mentionings of the different things, Ba'aret. So notice here, obviously, the multiple of six going on, and then seven, which is a perfect Mila Mancha. So here we have numerous poetic devices in order to get, once again, to get the reader excited about praising Hashem and recognizing that it's not just supposed to be the celestial beings who praise Hashem, but it starts off that way. If the Shemesh and Yareach, if the sun and the moon and stars are praising Hashem, then that should have a ripple effect onto everything going on in the land. Again, down to the blades of grass, reminding us of Walt Whitman and all the singing and dancing, that it should be that when one looks at, I'm just going to quote Whitman here, when one looks at the daffodils, for example, dancing, that should cause me to dance as well. And we're going to talk more about that in the Mizmorei Tehillim. One last point over here, if we've already been speaking about different poetic devices and the different numbers that are being used as well, then, and the different phrases that are used, the Hallelujah at the beginning and Hallelujah at the end are a call and an answer. What I mean by that is each time it says Hallelujah, that's the tzivoy, that's the commandment. Come and praise Hashem. When we mention Hallelujah, that's usually someone calling out, Hallelujah. Okay, time for a praise. The response is Hallelujah. So it's at the end. The last idea was Right, the Hallelu of Pasuk Zayin, Hallelu at Hashem, and then Halleluka. This doesn't necessarily mean that the same person is saying it, but this is what's called responsa literature. And you're going to find that most Mizmorim have something like this, right, in the form of Shiru, Hallelu, sometimes with what we're going to say, Sela, which was a clash of symbols. And each time we get to it, I'll point it out. What I mean by this is, you have to remember that this was, once upon a time, sung in the Beit HaMikdash. This is a song. And as such, it isn't simply people singing together, Halleluka, Hallelu. Rather, there's one leader who's calling out, Halleluka. Everyone responds, or the people, Halleluka. And then someone responds, Hallelu et Hashem in Hashemayim. So too at the end, Hallelu et Hashem in Haaretz. And everyone responds together in a chorus, Halleluka. So the responsa here going on within the Mizmor is supposed to also, on one hand, remind us of how the song was originally sung and also create a greater dynamic for you to recognize that this isn't simply a written poem, but something that was a song, something that was dynamic, something that was meant to come alive for the people in the Beit HaMikdash, that reading today, Chazal preserved those original callings and those original, one can even say, directives of song, so we can better appreciate the excitement within the Mizmor. So with this, we're going to continue with Mizmor Kuf Mem Tet. Mizmor Kuf Mem Tet, I would say, is one of the most troublesome Mizmorim within this Kovetz, and I assume you'll see why. Hello, Tzvi-san, who has joined us, and you're welcome to continue to hear the Shi'ur. He likes seeing the picture. I hope he has a Tanakh open in front of him as well. So we're going to continue now with Mizmor Kuf Mem Tet, and I think many of you are bothered by this also. As a matter of fact, generally when, especially when I daven, and you get to Mizmor, which you know Chazal tell us in terms of the priority of tefillot, if you don't have enough time. So Kuf Mem Hei, Kuf Mem Vav, Kuf Mem Chet, and Kuf Nun. And sure enough, after Kuf Mem Chet, you want to sing, as we said, the Song of the South. You want to sing. So did he do that? And then you turn to Kuf Mem Chet. And Kuf Mem Chet is going to be a little, I don't want to say depressing and as much as troubling. I'm going to ask you already to be sensitive to the trouble nature of Kuf Mem Chet. And what sense you get as you read it. Hallelujah, Shiru L'Adonai Shir Chadash, Tehilato B'Kal Chatidim. Yismach Yisrael Ba'osav, B'nei Tzion, Yagilu B'Malkam. Yihallelu Shema B'Machol, B'Tok Mechinor Yizamru Lo. Ki Rote Adonai Ba'amo, Yifair Anavim Yishua. Ya'alzu Chasidim B'Chavod, Yirananu Amishkavotam. Ramamot El Begunam, Vachere Pipiot B'Yadam, Lason Nekamah B'Goyim Tochichot Bal'umim, Lason Malchayhem B'Zikim V'Nechmedem V'Chavlei Barzel, Lason Tehem Mishpat Katuv, Hadahu L'Chol Chasidav, Hallelujah. Before we even translate this, without even looking at a translation, just by hearing the words, can anyone tell me what sense you have, what troubles you, even slightly, in this mizmor? And then we'll translate, and then we'll divide this mizmor. Everyone's okay with the mizmor? A little troubling. It's a bit strong. Very nice. Again, I agree with Steve. A bit strong. In what regard? And we just went from the themes of Hashem, who is the universal creator, also lifts Am Yisrael up and glorifies Am Yisrael. Hashem, who created the world, is also the God of Am Yisrael. Nikama, thank you. That's really it. Again, here we're presenting the sense of vengeance. David also said this revenge motif. And we're going to see how this is very significant. Right, why not only does it bother us to the degree that there's harsh terminology that's used, but from this floral, almost bucolic type of mizmor that we had right beforehand, we now have a very harsh one, right? A change in tone. And it must be that the Mashiach had a bad night's sleep, right, between writing these two mizmorim. But obviously there's something else going on, so let's take a look at the mizmor. First we're going to translate, and then we're going to divide the mizmor. Again, sing a Shir Chadash to Hashem amongst the Hasidim. So we already know we're in the same kovetz. We've been talking about the Hasidim in every mizmor, starting Mizmor Kuf Mem Hei, Yismach Yisrael Ba'osav, which reminds us, going back to Mizmor Kuf Mem Vav, and again, the previous two Mizmorim as well, God is happy with His creations. Again, who are we talking about? We're talking about people now, no longer the world, but the Bnei Tzion Yagilu B'Makam, the people of Tzion who are joyous with their king. Yalushmo B'Machol, praise Hashem now. Now we're not referring to who's praising Hashem, but with what shall He be praised? B'Machol, with a dance, V'Tof, with the drum, the chinor. A chinor is not a harp, but a violin. Yizamrulo, that's what we're going to use to sing to Hashem. Kirotza Hashem ba'amo, because God wants this of his nation. Yifa'erin avim b'shua, God wants to glorify the humble with salvation. Ya'ozu chasidim b'chavod. And in fact, the chasidim really will be excited. They will be happy with respect. Yiraninu amishkavotam. They will be singing. They will be joyous on their, it seems here, mishkavot, while they're lying down. Ramamot el begrunam, they will have the exaltations of God in their throats. V'chera tipiyot biyadam. This is where the mizmor becomes a little troubling. And they have a double-edged sword in their hands. But there's a play on words here as well. Ramamot el begrunam, they have the exaltations of Hashem in their throat. And tipiyot, the mouth is used here, but not mouth being something that one is using to singing to Hashem, but rather chera tipiyot, which is a term of the double mouth, right, the double-edged sword. And so here the mouth and the throat imagery is employed. One is really singing. The other is going to be with the yad, is going to be a vengeful and striking idea. They have the swords to take vengeance upon the nations, to rebuke the different peoples. Now we have the same malachim that were mentioned in the previous mizmor, and this is important to see, the Shoshur Hamilim Po, that the kings who are used, who are supposed to be singing to Hashem, here, the Hasidim, who again we imagine as nice, and one can say believing, spiritual beings, here they are, with the swords in their hands, and they're going to incarcerate these kings with chains, nechbedehem b'chavlei brazil, and the respected ones with chains of iron, lasot ha-mishpachatuv, to do what they should be doing with their sentencing. And they should sentence them as they deserve. Hadahu l'chol chasidav haluya, glory be to all these chasidim. What happened to glorifying God? Now we're glorifying the chasidim. We're glorifying chasidim who are killing out all these malachim and sarim. So let's take a look first at the different division. It's very clear here to see, based on the tone, the division or the two stanzas in Mizmor Kuf Mem Tet. Any volunteers? How do you divide the Mizmor? I'll help you out again once more. It's a relatively short Mizmor, so there are only two stanzas here. I see. I think Rosella is trying to say something, but it's not coming out through the headpiece. Okay, I'm assuming that you're saying Hatzukim Alas Rudalid, right? That's what you meant. Okay, excellent. From Pasuk Alas Rudalid is one section, which is a basic Tehillah LaHashem, praising Hashem for the salvation that he brings to his nation. So this is a beautiful continuation from the end of the previous Mizmor. Pasuk Yudalid in Kuf Memchet ended by Yaron Keren La'amo. Hashem will exalt the people. Hashem will lift up a horn to the people. Now we find they are going to be exalted because Hashem will save them. The second stands up, Sukkim Hei through Tet, 5 through 9. Here the theme is the happiness or the exaltation of the Hasidim through their victories against the Goyim. Right, or through the vengeance taken out against the Goyim. So let's take a look and see again, what the relationship is, and perhaps we can appreciate the tone, and maybe it will set and shed a little bit of a different light for this mizmor when we daven it in the future. Bima, on one hand, are singing to Hashem, and we said that the pasuk that really combines this together is pasuk Hey, Yazu Chatzidim v'Chavod Yiranu Amishkivotam, and on the next pasuk, Ramos El Begronam v'Cheresufiot Biyadam, that they are singing on one hand, but also taking out the vengeance of Hashem. Notice, by the way, in the first section, we have five different commandments of praising Hashem. Shiru, Yismach, Yagilu, Yahalalu, Yizamru. In the second section, we have only two. Mait Ya'ozu, Yiraninu. But if we put it all together, we have, lo and behold, the perfect Mila Mancha of seven. Seven different phrases of praising Hashem. And these seven different phrases, each time, are each a little bit different. Right, sometimes also being used for the Goyim, Hasidim, Yisrael, Bnei Tzion, Amog, and the Anavim as well. Not only that, but from the terminology of the Mizmor, our other sense is that where is all this taking place? Where are the people singing to Hashem? specifically if we connect it also to the previous Mizmorim, specifically in Zion, in Yerushalayim, where they get a sense of the victories, where they recognize Hashem as the Melech as opposed to all these other Melechim. And therefore, there are many Parshanim who maintain that this is simply a Shir of Halil, of not necessarily just for the Teshuah, the salvation that Hashem is bringing to Am Yisrael during a time of war now, but more specifically, again, for all the victories of the past. And there are others who explain that this was originally a Mizmor that Am Yisrael would sing when they would go out to war, meaning it's a cry in war, it's a war cry. We're going to take vengeance on the people, and we're already going to sing out to Hashem, in whom we're confident is basically going to come and save all of us. So, again, that's the machlok of Hashem here. Is this a thank you, Hashem, for salvation past, or really a praise of Hashem, or an expression of the confidence for salvation that is yet to come? So notice that the Mizmor opens with Kahal Chasidim, and the second part begins with Ya'alzu Chasidim, and it ends with Lecho Chasidav. Right, this isn't salvation for everyone. These are the Chasidim that we've already mentioned a few times in the previous Mizmorim. These are those who tell us that, again, these are the ones who appreciate the kindnesses of Hashem. But then there are other terms, right? There are Yismach Yisrael Ba'usav. There are, again, the Malachim that are mentioned here. Right, there are clearly other terms as well, and this is what I'd like to mention now. Who are these Chasidim? And how are we meant to appreciate what the Meshorer is really trying to teach us? Pay attention to the poetic devices. Take a look at what he's saying. Hashem's glory is amongst the Chasidim, where, as we mentioned, B'nei Tzion Yagilu B'malkam. Because of those, and it seems that this is a continuation, because we had the Shirul Hashem Shir Chadash Yismach Yisrael Bosav. Yisrael is going to be happy with and he who created them, a theme that we've been speaking about for a while in the previous Mizmorim, the Neit Siel and Chasidim, Yagilu the Makam. They'll be happy, they'll be joyous with their king. Meaning these are people who recognize Hashem as their king. How? Again, they'll sing, they'll play musical instruments. Ki rotze Hashem ba'amo, yifa'er anavim b'yeshua. What is the joy that they feel? The glory that Hashem provides to them with salvation. They will sing, so now we understand what type of happiness are we talking about? Salvation happiness. And that's why they're going to be singing all the time. Yiraninu Amishkavotam. Someone said that there are some Parshanim here, like the Radak, who understands that the Mishkavotam, again, is a terminology that also implies that they're dreaming about this. Right? That they're on their Mishkavot, that they're lying down, and this is when they think of all the salvations of Hashem, right? One can even say for the future, in the sense of what they hope awaits them in the form of salvation. Others explain your new Amishkavotam is, again, as we said, not only as they're lying down and thinking of the ultimate salvation for the future, but the opposite could also reign true, that it's specifically when they're lying down of the wonders of Hashem, and they think of all of the glories and the kindnesses that Hashem has bestowed upon them in the past. So again, it's either their optimistic future that they're praising Hashem for while they're going to sleep, meaning it's their dreams, or it's more their thinking. Right? Their contemplations as they're lying down, they're remembering, again, all the things that Hashem has done in the past. Ramamot el begronam b'chay pifiyot b'yadam. As we said, this is where the Meshorer begins now to take a little bit of a different turn. Right? What is there, and this is how we see, that Pasuk Hey started something new, Ya'alzu Chasidim b'chavod. They're going to be happy not only with Hashem being their king, but with respect right now. What are they praising Hashem for while they're lying on their beds? Ramot el begronam. For salvation. In other words, the first part of the Mizmor is basically talking about praising Hashem for and his special relationship with Am Yisrael through salvation. The second part is once we appreciate that Hashem saves us, then we're going to have a role to play as well. What is that role? Lasot nekama bogoyim. If one understands that when Hashem saves Am Yisrael, then this brings to the glory of Am Yisrael, and when Am Yisrael feels the glory from Hashem, what's our intuitive response, we automatically praise Hashem. And on one hand, again, is this a messianic reference that he is asking? Certainly. And one can understand that if it's for the future, then indeed it has eschatological repercussions, that it could be that this is written during a time of, and we're going to talk about this more when we talk about the next Kovetz of Mizmorim, that we have to try to figure out if he keeps on talking about Jewish pride, if, does he feel a sense of Jewish pride when naturally the people are in a good state, for example, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, or because the people are not and he has to encourage them to feel a sense of pride. There are indeed men amongst Chazal even, those who say that this is not talking about during the time of Shlomo, but rather a messianic reference indeed. One that's referring to is, again, his hope for the future that one day we're going to come out on top of the Goyim. But personally, I think that it is talking about a time when the Jews are sensing pride and where they don't have any trepidation or fear in saying that they're going to go out to take vengeance against the Goyim. If this is a time where they feel like the underdog, it would be very hard to imagine that they're going to publicly cry out for a call for vengeance. But if we go back to this idea then, once they recognize that they have a special relationship with God and Hashem saves them through salvation, they automatically want to praise Hashem. What does that remind them of? Then it must be that God is angry with the people that he's going to be destroying. And number two, we just said in the previous Mizmor that everyone, including Malchei Aretz, including Mesarim, have a responsibility of praising Hashem. When Hashem saves us, we praise Hashem. So what do we have to do now? It's our responsibility to make sure that everyone praises Hashem, and if they don't, then we kill them. Right? So it's not so much vengeance in as much as we recognize that we're Hashem's intermediaries, that we're Hashem's medium through which his name is praised. And if Hashem's name is not praised, then it's our responsibility to do something about it. And therefore, I'd like to change the terminology. It's not a cry for vengeance. It's a cry of encouraging more people to praise Hashem. Shame on you for not praising Hashem. And Hashem saved us, we praise him. And if you're not going to recognize that Hashem saves you, maintains you as part of your life, then you don't deserve to be here. And this is going to be a theme that repeats itself a few times in Sefer Tehillim. So the various Mishorim of Sefer Tehillim is to praise Hashem. If you don't praise Hashem, if there's no reason, and you know the famous Ma'amar of Chazal, that as long as David HaMelech continued to praise Hashem, then he, even though he knew he was going to die on a Shabbat, when he was 70 years old, for the moment that he stopped singing, for the moment that the satsang distracted him, that's when he died. Right? And this is a basic theme that Chazal extrapolates from the Mizmorim and Tehillim. So again, Masom Ekama B'Goyim. On you, and now let's prove this. Right? Lesor Malchihim Bisikim, the Nich Budehim, the Chavlei Brazil. We're going to basically chain these kings down. The kings who in this Merkut Memchet should have been the ones to praise Hashem. So if they're not praising Hashem, whose responsibility is it to get them to praise Hashem? We, who recognize Hashem and who praise Hashem, it's our responsibility to do something about this as well. So we lock them up in chains, look carefully, the Nich Bedehem, the Chavlei Brazil. A beautiful play on words here, because how did the Mizmor start as well? With the idea of Yalzu Chasidim Bechavod. So notice, going back then to Pasuk Bet, who are these Chasidim? Benetion Yagilu B'malkam, we're happy with our Melech. And then we respond, Lesom Achayhem B'sikim, kings who see themselves as kings and not recognize Hashem as kings, as king, then they don't deserve to be around. Nich b'dehem. Again, back to Pasuk Hei, Yazu Chasidim b'chavod. So at the very beginning, the Chasidim recognize Hashem as the Melech. The Chasidim recognize Hashem as the source of kavod. Kings who see themselves as kings, and nich b'dehem, honorable people who honor themselves and not Hashem, deserve to be locked up in chains. And David is mentioning that this is what they did to us during the time of the Churban. That's right, they locked us up in chains. And the irony is that we said they're the ones who deserve to be in chains. If you don't recognize that Hashem is your God, if you don't recognize that Hashem is the one of Kavod, then we're going to have to be the ones to show this to you. Lasot behem mishpat katuv. To offer, again, the correct sentencing. Right, the written sentencing. Can anyone tell me where else we found this theme of mishpat katuv? Let's see if you appreciate the idea of a kovetz here. To make sure that Mishpat Katuv is executed. And the basic idea is, again, Mishpat, they're going to be sentenced to whatever punishment because they didn't praise Hashem. But there's one other idea over here, and that is, again, the Mishpat Katuv, look back, again, clearly the Mishorah has another reference, look back to this more Kufman Zayin, to Pasuk Yotet, Magid Varav Yaakov Chukav Umishpatav Yisrael Lo Asachim L'chogoy Umishpatim Bal Yedaum Haliluka. Hashem gave us Mishpatim. They don't know the Mishpatim, these other Malachim and these other Goyim. Again, which Mishpatim is this a reference to? Not sentencing as punishment, but Mishpatei HaTorah. Right, a beautiful idea here, which already tells us that this Mizmar is trying to put previous ideas together. We are not seeking vengeance. We're seeking to put the kings in their place, for them to recognize that Hashem is the king, and therefore they have a responsibility to praise Hashem. And therefore, Lasopahim Mishpat Katuv, to do basically what the Torah says. What does the Torah say? What is the Mishpatim? To recognize God. Hadahu l'chol chasidav. This is the glory that Hashem offers his chasidim. That the chasidim in the end are going to be means not only through whom Hashem expresses his glory, but once Hashem expresses his glory through the chasidim have a double responsibility. Number one is we ourselves have to praise Hashem. Secondly, we have to make sure that others recognize that they have to praise Hashem. Right? A beautiful idea, and it's true that, again, this never happens historically. I think what David was trying to point out is that the idea of locking us up in chains is what the Romans, or first the Babylonians and the Romans, did to us during the time of the Chorban, meaning that this Mizmor, unfortunately, has not come true yet. And therefore, to make this Mizmor then less disturbing, I hope that you've all, again, seen that this isn't what the Mishnah has in mind. He's not telling us all, okay, get your double-edged swords and start massacring, again, the different nations. Rather, what is he saying? And then he is telling us that you should be so encouraged, you should recognize the responsibility that you have on your own to sing to Hashem, but also, as we've noticed from these Muslims, there's a universal nature. We have a responsibility to make sure that more and more people praise Hashem, and if they don't, then there are consequences. And that's what he's pointing out. Is this how David viewed himself as a warrior? Certainly. No question. Right, he knew that his mechamot, and he says this over and over again in Tehillim, his mechamot, his wars, were wars for the sake of Hashem. Right, the Meshorer focuses, why doesn't he focus on the peaceful conversion of the going towards Hashem? That's an excellent question, and this I do want to address. David's question is, why doesn't this Meshorer focus on peaceful conversion of the goyim? Right? Instead of, you're not praising Hashem, let's sit down, let's have a nice theological discussion with you, he says, shame on them. And Hashem is going to save us from the Goyim because we do praise Him. So the Goyim don't deserve to be praised. I mean, it's talking about salvation within the context of war, number one. Number two, this is a very specific Mishorer. And this is where I want to get to one last idea that we're going to use as a basis for our future discussions in Tehillim as well. And this is called Zitz in Leiden. And I mentioned Gunkel was one of the first German scholars to really analyze Sefer Tehillim as a text, as many biblical critics did at the beginning of the 20th century, again, the very beginning of the 1900s. And the common theme that was used is once we understand that these are, in fact, Mizmori Mikdash, to try to appreciate Zitz and Leiben, which is the German for, again, Moshav HaChayim, the way that people lived during that time. Which means let's try to figure out the background of this Mishorer. Let's try to figure out the issues of this Mishorer. And that's why I said, do you think he's living during a time when, again, Jewish pride is on the rise or Jewish pride is not so strong? This Mishorer fundamentally believes that, again, there have to be consequences for those who don't serve Hashem. Either, again, one can espouse the opinion that, in fact, it's because the people don't feel a sense of confidence, or lehetach, we have the upper hand, let's go show them what it means not to praise Hashem. But the reason why we're going to end with these Mizmorim, and right after this we're going to learn the Ezrat Hashem next week, Mizmorei Kabbalat Shabbat, from Mizmor Tzadik Heis, from Mizmor Kuf, is because, David, those Mizmorim are going to be very similar, incorporating the personal relationship with Hashem, at the same time the universal relationship with Hashem. And Hashem is the creator of the world, but a very different type of Jewish pride. Jewish pride that's going to again speak much more about peaceful conversion. I always say, Mizmorei Kabbalat Shabbat are really Kiruv Mizmorim. And it's going to be clearly a different Mishorer who sings it, or a different system life in, a different situation in life that's going to motivate one to try a peaceful conversion as opposed to, I don't want to say vengeful anymore, and as much as a more drastic approach to showing the people who think that kavod belongs to them, to showing them that they have a responsibility because they're also the creations of God, they have a responsibility to praise Hashem as well. I know that our time is up, so I want to quickly, if I can, just finish the next mizmor, so that we can finish the kovetz today. Hallelujah, hallelu el b'katsho, hallu b'erkia uzo, hallu b'gvorotav, hallu akarov gudlo, hallu b'tek ha-shofar, hallu b'nevev v'chinor, hallu b'tok u'machol, hallu b'minim v'ugav, hallu b'tzutzulei shama, hallu b'tzutzulei tshua, kol ha-neshama, tahallelujah, hallelujah. And now your homework for next week is to look at all the mizmorim and see the beautiful structure within the mizmorim to try to show me what the relationship is between the mizmorim, but this is a quite obvious one. I'm going to get you started by showing you that mizmor nun basically is the chatima, is the official closure, or what's known as inclusio. It's going to finish off the mizmorim beginning in kuf mem hey, and if anyone can type in very quickly, how do I know that kuf nun finishes off the ideas of kuf mem hey? There are a few words that give it away, but primarily Gvura Gdula, I know that's what you were all thinking, right? The play on Gvura and Gdula that we saw in this Mork of Memhei, and secondly, Kol HaNishamat HaLaka HaLuka, which reminds us that in this Mork of Memhei, not only the Kol, and the second part of the Mizmor, if you remember, V'chev L'chol HaKvufim, Sameecha L'chol HaNuflim, but all the more so, the very last line, Tehilat Hashem Yedaberti, V'verech Kol Basar Shimchat Shol Be'olam Ve'ed. I'm hoping that what I'm singing is something that will be contagious and everyone will sing. Now, if we think about this quickly, again, what is he starting with then? Halu alu el b'katsho, halu b'erkia uzo. This time starting with a personal as well, a beautiful continuation from the previous mizmor. The previous mizmor ended with his chasidim, ended with specifically the people in Yerushalayim, Am Yisrael, recognizing Hashem. And that's why we start off. Who should praise Hashem, or where should he be praised? Number one, b'katsho. What's b'katsho? The Beit HaMikdash. Of course, Am Yisrael then, in continuation of this theme, we're going to be the first ones to praise Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. Halua v'rukia uzo. We're going to praise Hashem. Now we go to the universal nature in the firmaments of above, right, the powers of the Shemayim. Halua b'gvurotav, halua k'rov gudlo. Through his strength and his greatness. V'tikah shofar. Now that we've discussed where we praise Hashem, and then for what we praise Hashem, the next phrases, with what do we praise Hashem? Take a look at the comprehensive nature of all this. B'tikah shofar, with the trumpeting of the trumpets. B'nevel. Right, the nevel here is a string instrument. Again, there were different types of nevelim. Again, this was more of the harp. Right, the nevel, some were shminit, some were asirit, 8 and 10 string harps. The chinor, the violin. B'tof, with the drum, or machol, with the dance that, if you recall, we already saw in the previous mizmor, so this definitely shows us the relationship between the mizmorim, the minim v'ugav, also with different types of wind instruments. Halo b'tzotzolei shama, with different tunes, b'tzotzolei trua, different sounds. So now with the comprehensive nature, praise, who, or where, in the Beit HaMikdash, and now the closure, kol ha'nishamat taloka. It's not just Am Yisrael in the Beit HaMikdash, and it's not just the creations of the world. Praising Hashem in the skies, it's Kol HaNishama. It's everyone. We end the same way with which we began. There's a Chatimah, Me'im Sikha. Mizmor Kuf Mem Hei started with Arumim Chalokai HaMelech. I will start to sing, but my goal is Tehilat Hashem Yedaber Pi V'Varech Kol Basar. I hope that every creature in this world will praise to Hashem. We end off with saying comprehensively, now that you understand with what you're supposed to praise Hashem, now that we've developed these ideas in 5 Mizmorim, Shorer ends by saying, yes, the basis has to be the Beit HaMikdash. Through Am Yisrael, people will come to recognizing that they should all be praising Hashem. Comprehensively, every type of instrument, every type of movement, every type of dance, every type of singing, every type of tone, and every type of tune. But it's not just the comprehensive nature of with what we praise Hashem, but who praises Hashem, his ultimate goal, Kol HaNishama. I hope that if I sing, I hope that literally the whole world will join in singing. He starts off that way, he tries to develop the theme throughout the mizmorim, and he ends that way as well, ultimately on an emotional level, attempting to induce all of us, when we finish these mizmorim, to sing and dance in front of Hashem, and to spread this word to enable as many people around as possible to sing and to join in these praises of Hashem. Until next week then, Shavua Tova. Next week we're going to start with Joseph following up on the basic structure of the Mizmorim, and then we're going to begin with Mizmorei Kabbalat Shabbat. In the meantime, I hope that your tefillot of Shacharit, of Mizmorei HaLalukah, will be all the more meaningful. And you'll see then the Mizmorim of Kabbalat Shabbat, how much more exciting and meaningful they can be as well once we understand the structure and henceforth the content of those Mizmorim. Have a wonderful week and Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
I enjoyed it.
Okay, Rosella, thank you too.